Listen, all you New Yorkers.
It's the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
888-808-1019 is the number to call. Pete Hoffman with you on the fan till 5 a.m. Just to clear up, yes, Borgonzi. So it was official that Borgonzi, I know when they were going to offer him the GM job, I didn't know if he took it yet, but Mike Borgonzi did take the job with the Titans. So that's another, that's a GM that's off the board for the Jets. I don't know what they're doing at GM. I don't. Aaron Glenn seems to be the guy that everyone's pointing at as far as the guy that wants the Jet job, that they want him to be the Jet head coach. However, you do need a GM before you make any of these hires. So that to me is, this is a long, long head coaching search, and I'm not sure if they know what they're looking for. I don't. Because you wouldn't interview everybody else in the world. Like, if you got Aaron Glenn and you think he's the guy, stop interviewing. Like, just it's done. Aaron Glenn could be the guy. I know that you have to do certain, you know, expectations as far as the Rooney Rule goes. Okay, that's fine. I think you've done that already. I think you've gone above and beyond on all levels. But the other thing is, you do need a GM to make these decisions, and like, you kind of want the GM to be on the same page as you. Like, you, if you're going to hire, if you're thinking Aaron Glenn's the guy, you kind of want a GM that wants Aaron Glenn too, no? You don't want to go into a situation where it's, we bring in a GM, he doesn't really like Aaron Glenn, but you kind of want him, so then we'll take Aaron Glenn, but then the first moment it goes bad, we're going to get rid of Aaron Glenn and go back into another circle of, or cycle of head coaches. We've done that too many times. And that's the same thing with the quarterback situation, same thing with everything. And the Jets as a franchise, I don't buy into them. I don't buy into next year the Jets are going to be any good, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's a rookie QB, whether it's somebody else, whether it's Justin Fields, whether it's Daniel Jones, whether it's Sam Darnold. I don't believe that that team is ready to win, because they were ready to win the last 2 years, and they didn't. And last year, in 2023, they had a better record with Aaron Rodgers hurt than they did last year in 2024. Or this year, whatever you want to say. I can't buy into this franchise. They need a lot of help. They need a lot of help. And I don't know if the consultants that they brought in, you know, Tannenbaum obviously is going to be involved or is helping with the decision. But I don't know if Woody ultimately is going to make the right choice. And that's what it comes down to. So I can't buy into that team just yet. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Back to your Pete Alonso calls. My gripe is with David Stearns right now and Steve Cohen, because I think it's less about Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso is the issue at the moment, because he is that top player that's out there that can benefit, or the Mets can benefit from, by bringing him in. And David Stearns is saying, we don't need him, basically. You could tell me that the contract that was offered was, you know, reasonable, that was market value, but you have to be able to sometimes go above and beyond. And the Mets, I think, need to go above and beyond to be a team that's relevant, to be a team that is consistently in the playoffs, that has that sustained success. You can't rely on the young kids just yet, because they're not all that good yet. They're just not. And yes, you got Juan Soto, but that doesn't guarantee a playoff spot. So you got to go and bring in more help. And there's help available, but David Stearns is playing the market game. And I know that's why Cohen brought him in, to be the president of baseball operations, because he knows the business better than anybody else. He's a smart guy. He knows how to spend the dollar. But at some point in time, you have to be able to evaluate the situation and say, are we better than we were last year? How much better are we from last year? And I think right now, even with Juan Soto, Mets aren't better. They just aren't. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Phil in Sheepshead Bay. What's up, Phil?
Hi, Pete. Pete, you know, you mentioned, are they better or not better? Here's what I have to say. In general, there's no consistency. Think of what Brandon Nimmo did last year. At one point, he was 0-32. McNeil, same thing. Now, they're depending on these guys. Then plus bringing up the youngsters. You know, if you don't have consistency or guys that hit with power to support Juan Soto, they're not going anywhere. And I believe that because I'm following the team since their inception, since 1962. Those are the Marv Fromberry waste away years. But I just can't understand how Steve Cohn is listening to this guy, because this guy is coming from a small market team, the Brewers, and that particular division is like anybody. It's a toss-up. It's a joke.
Well, they were listen, the one thing I will say about Milwaukee was with Stearns while he was there, he got into the playoffs every year. I mean, obviously, I think the first year or two he missed, but then once he got in, they were there. They won. They went to the playoffs, I think, 4 and 5 years. Like, the Mets, they've gone, their best has been 2 years in a row, 2 out of 3 years max. That's what they've done. And they've only done it twice.
And I think good. Steve Cohn initially said he has this 5-year plan. They'll be in the playoffs, the World Series. He'll get them there, the 5th year. Now, isn't this the 5th year coming up?
Yeah, but he kind of said he wished he could take it back.
He's so, backing off, huh?
Yeah, and again, like I feel like they were last year where they left off was a nice spot to maybe put them into a position to take that step of being like, you know what, maybe I don't want to take it back. But now with the small ball, the small market play does feel like they are taking that step back, and that's frustrating.
Yeah, Jesse Winker is not going to be a consistent power hitter. Let's say he's even a DH. So you can't depend on him. And I think Marte's going to end up trade bait anyway.
Well, they were trying to trade him, but who did I see that they wanted to trade him for? Blanket on the name. I think it was either Hunter Harvey was the guy that they were trying to talk. That's what I read. I don't know how true that was, but I believe they were trying to trade Starling Marte for Hunter Harvey. And I like Hunter Harvey. I thought he was someone that would be a good fit for the Mets, but I don't know if that was true or not. That being said, though, yeah, Marte, they're probably going to split the way it sounds like they're going to split him and Winker at DH.
DH, maybe, right,
maybe
I agree.
Spell like, you know, Nimmo or Soto, whatever it is, and give them days off or whatever the case is. They're going to find ways to get these guys in the outfield, some at bats. But to me, that's not a good DH. We tried that experiment way back when with Vogelbach and Darren Ruff, and then last year we did. Last year,
Martinez last year didn't work out that well.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Phil, great call. I feel like they brought JD Martinez in a year too late. That's. Just kind of how it was. They brought him in 1 year too late. And last year, he was kind of on the way out. He was able to put up a good couple months and then fell off. And he kind of just died out. And he's getting old. He's got back issues. He's got his issues health-wise. It is what it is. You know, there's only so long these guys can play for, and he's getting older. So it was disappointing. But again, they missed JD Martinez the year they needed to get him. They got him last year. He did help. He did have his moment here or there. But come playoff time, he was a nothing. 888-808-1019. Val is in the Bronx. What's up, Val? Welcome to the Fan.
Captain Hoff, what's going on, King? How you doing, my man?
You are the man. But what's going on, man?
Yo, I got some things I want to talk to you about Mets and Yankees. But let me just say real quick, I like that the comeback that you got from the break. It sounds like the snippet intro to like a Ghostface song or something like that. Yo, that's hot. I like that. I like it.
I try, dude. I try.
And that thing you were talking about with the Dodgers, yo, never mind the domestic stuff with the deferred money, but they got it locked down as far as Japanese players are concerned. If I can make an analogy, they're like my parents and them come from the West Indies. And the Dodgers are like what Brooklyn was for West Indies back in the late 60s and early 70s. Like, that's the spot where your family done went to. They got links there. They know how things run. And everybody feels that much more comfortable. So I feel like they got a lock on anybody, at least for the next, I want to say, maybe five. Until somebody, a few other guys are going to come through and do things other places. But for the most part, especially guys that he's played with on the world baseball teams or anybody that he had contact with when he was still there, a lot of those guys are going to be looking to come exactly where he
is. Yeah, Val,
so,
and that, Val, and I'll let you finish, Val, but real quick, that's part of the success factor, right? Like, you see what the Dodgers have been doing. Yeah, it's easy to say, well, they're close, it works out, they have the money, this, that, the other thing, but they've also had success. So
yeah, they steps ahead, bro. They steps ahead. As a matter of fact, what your previous guy was talking about, they're not even doing stuff where they're waiting until a trade deadline. They're set up before they start, and they're adding at the trade deadline. So they steps ahead, bro. And what I just said about that, them being like, you know, that analogy as far as Japanese players, anybody that's like that right now, that, like I said, he knows or he has contact with, they feel like the ground is fertile already. It's already been set up for us to come through and be successful. So, you know, they got a nice little model over there.
Yeah, it's very annoying. I hate that model.
Tell me about it. But to get to the two things, I would like to talk Mets with you.
Yeah.
And I'd like to talk Yankees real quick.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get into the Alonso stuff because I think I told Mac yesterday, and we've been talking about it before, and now we got to the point where it was like the worst case scenario because now we got on that embarrassment level. I was saying it should have been like a quiet conversation, even like when they were having the press conference for Soto. Boris was right there. You know, Stearns and Cohen could have pulled him to the side already up front then. And could have had that quiet conversation about Alonso. You know what I'm saying? But that's another story. One thing I would like to ask you, and I've heard people poo-poo this because they keep saying, well, you guys are going to sign him anyway. But if it meant that, because it's a different scenario from us when we did it with Soto last year, you know for a fact that you have, I mean, you all odds are that you're going to be able to. You're the boogeyman in the room to sign him. So in terms of, like, you know, giving up prospects to get Vladdy now, and feeling like, you know, you might lose out on him in free agency, that's like a thing that you can't really think about in the equation that I'm giving you. If you manage to, before spring training, have Vladdy on your roster and it didn't cost you Vientos, because like that evaluation that Stearns did last season, he already knows that he's got you got answers on Vientos.
Sure.
You got answers on Alvarez. You even got answers on Acuna, who people don't talk about. But if you remember late in the season when Lindor was nursing
his back, a lot of people aren't giving him as much credit as I did. I thought he did a good job, but some people think that just September. It doesn't count as much, which is garbage.
September is the most important time. That's when you needed him to do the things he was doing to keep you the conversation to get to where you were going. So you've already seen him. If it doesn't cost you any of those guys, and even if you had to, maybe, like, it doesn't even cost you Mauricio, and maybe you even throw that in because, you know, you haven't seen, you wanted him to be part of last year, but he got hurt. If it costs you, the only thing that scares me is that you might not have the prospects. Once you take out that and you tell them that you can't touch the young starting pitching that we covered in the minors, like, what do you have left to offer them? But if they actually have prospects to offer and you got Vladdy early, I don't see why, like, that could be the move that actually, like, right now, this season, if you started off right now, you're looking at being able to compete with everybody else. And well, to get to my – okay,
two,
I'm sorry.
Two things here about Vlad. A, the Toronto Blue Jays are trying to extend him. So I don't think
But it's – I'm sorry.
No, I don't think that they're going to just hand them over. Even if you could put together a package, it's going to have to be a very, very significant package. The names you just mentioned would have to be involved.
Yeah, but Huff, no. So long as it doesn't involve those names, if you got other guys, even like they were talking about that guy Clifford or something like that, I think he's like an outfielder, first baseman prospect for you. You got some kind of like other mid-level
pitcher or something
like that.
I think that's what got Soto.
You know what I'm saying?
What got Soto was a bunch of different names. Like there was Michael King was a legitimate starter. Okay.
So even if you threw in Peterson, like I'm saying, it just means that you are planning on getting the guy anyway. All you're doing is speeding up the schedule.
But I
just so I can get to my Yankee question, because I know you're gonna have to cut me off soon.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure I get it all out.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about, and you could talk about all these things and ask me when I come off. The last thing I wanted to ask you about. What I do not get, like, I feel uncomfortable about the whole thing with my squad trying to solve the third base problem internally. It seems like they still got feelers out on other things, but it's starting to become more and more where that's the drumbeat now internally. What I don't understand is, why is DJ getting the top billing when, like, based on what we saw from Cabrera last season, how come it's not that they're talking about, like, I understand the two of them being the questions that you're talking about or the answers that you're talking about to solve the question. But how come Cabrera is not the one that's getting the top billing? Why am I hearing LeMahieu first as far as the answer, not Cabrera starting up first at third? And then if that doesn't fail, you know what I'm saying?
What else is LeMahieu doing? Where else is LeMahieu playing? You got two more years of LeMahieu.
I'm just saying that Cabrera showed you, like, why do we keep playing down? Cabrera showed you
because DJ's making the money. And the one thing that the Yankees don't do is they're not just going to sit there. And I don't agree with this. I mean, they could find a way to cut ties with LeMahieu. They could find a way to maybe trade him, like eat his money, whatever the case is. They choose to just let them rot there. Like, this is the one thing that the Yankees have always done, is they're going to hold on for as long as possible because they gave the money. They got to use them.
Pop, to me, it looks like low-hanging fruit because talent-wise, based on what you see from what LeMahieu has been doing, and I love the guy, but clearly he's on the decline. You see what Cabrera does. Like, it's low-hanging fruit. The production is there. Why does he get that top billing? That I just don't understand. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Cabrera's not someone that I'm going to write home about either. Like, he's struggled too.
Well, to be honest with you, I would even, at this point, even like to say that you were bringing in Arenado, they were doing what they could to get him, and Cabrera was the insurance in case Arenado failed. Because early on in the before the winter meetings, a lot of the talk you were hearing, and it was showing a lot of that on MLB, was Arenado getting his workouts in and making sure that he was trying to tell people that next season was going to be a comeback. Now that's a question mark to, like, does it happen? Does it not? But I would say Cabrera should be, like, even at that point, he's second in that depth chart. Why does he take a lower, you know, slot to LeMahieu? I just don't get it. The evidence is not there. Like, it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
I get it. But again, and thanks so much for the phone call. But specifically when it comes down to the Yankees, he's the one making the money. DJ's making $15 million a year. They're not going to have him to be a bench player sitting on the bench at $15 million a year. They're just not going to do it. He's got 2 years left. Maybe in 2026, maybe they find a way to eat the money because he's just not healthy anymore. He can't contribute, and they trade him for basically nothing. But right now, they're going to try their best to find DJ a spot. They're going to try to give him an opportunity to recover. He's going to get first dibs. Just is what it is. And the other thing is, Cabrera hasn't really fought and won that job either. Like, he hasn't gone out there and gone above and beyond. I won't lie. Like, Arenado, to me, out of the three, are the better. It's the better way to go. But I can't tell you that the Yankees are going to do that too. I mean, you'd have to almost swap contracts with Arenado and LeMahieu, but that's not going to happen. 888-808-1019. We'll get more phone calls. Steve, Rob, we'll get to you guys. Again, David Stearns and Steve Cohen, they are the lead, as I don't trust them this year. I really don't. And they should have earned our trust, but I feel like they got a little bit too happy and are making some bad moves. And I just don't feel great about this New York Mets team, even though it's still, you know, the offseason. We still got time. doesn't seem like they're going to go above and beyond, and that, to me, is a mistake. 888-808-1019, Pete Hoffman with you on the fan. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. Pete Hoff with you on the fan till 5. Now, we'll get back to these Pete Alonso calls in a second, but we do have, the divisional round in the playoffs, NFL playoffs this weekend, and later today, Kansas City Chiefs versus the Houston Texans. And think about this. The Chiefs are always a betting favorite as far as, huge, huge spreads. They're up, I think it's -8.5 or -8 at the moment for over Houston. But this season has been so different for the Chiefs. And I understand that the playoff, Chiefs are different than the regular season Chiefs. That's something that always happens. Sometimes they're just a playoff team. They're a team on a mission looking to win 3 in a row, And obviously Patrick Mahomes is special, and they have, Travis Kelce, but also he makes everybody else around him special. I get it. Defense has been pretty solid. But this year is the one year where I do feel that the Chiefs are bound to, I'm very comfortable saying I don't think the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl this year. They may get there. They're not winning. And the Houston Texans can be the first team to knock them off, to be honest with you, because C.J. Stroud has been playing lights out. He's really, between him, Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, they are legitimately playing great football. The coaching is fantastic. And, last week, I thought the Chargers were going to steamroll the Texans. I thought, okay, it's time to end this storybook for the Houston Texans, and it went exact opposite. Now, you could blame Justin Herbert for his part in that, but the Texans are playing great football right now, and the Chiefs have played so many games this season that have been the opposite of normal for the Chiefs. They're not playing blowouts. They're playing tight games with a lot of teams that shouldn't be, in their wavelength. So I'm looking at this game with the Chiefs and the Houston Texans saying the cover for the Texans seems to be easy. Now, there's never anything easy or guarantee in betting. We get that. But I look at this game and just think the Texans are very, very scary to at least keep it close. And all it takes is something to go wrong. And that's the one thing that the Chiefs don't normally do. They usually are a tight team. They usually are able to minimize mistakes. But it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. And this is where I used to say, I used to compare Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I used to say Tom Brady was a great quarterback, and in the bigger moments, he showed up. Whereas Peyton Manning was always on that level of, he's great, but in the playoffs, other people stepped up around him, which is why he couldn't win every year. The opposition, the defense, they'd make plays. He's a great quarterback, great regular season quarterback, but in the big crunch time spots, sometimes Manning wasn't as good. Not because he wasn't good, but because other players stepped up. You need to have a different gear. Playoffs are different. Now, Mahomes and company, they always seem to have that second gear come playoff time. But this might be the year that they are susceptible. So it's the first test here with the Texans. I'm looking forward to it. You also have the Eagles and the Rams. No, Eagles. Yeah, Eagles-Rams. Eagles-Rams, which is... I was surprised what the Rams did last week versus Minnesota. Now, again, everyone's going to sit there and say Sam Darnold was the reason why the Vikings were so bad. But honestly, talk about clicking in all cylinders. They barely used Cooper Kupp. And the Rams still dominated offensively, defensively made, the Vikings look terrible. Aaron Jones clearly wasn't healthy or just couldn't do anything on the ground. And it was just a joke of an offense that they put together. And the Rams really did a great job smothering Aaron Jones, making sure that they couldn't develop any sort of running game and, shut down Jefferson and others. And I don't think they'll win the game. I just think it'll be close. Again, I do think these games are going to be close no matter what this weekend. But I do think that the Eagles, at home, you got to give them the edge. That's what it comes down to. I do like the Rams to cover. I think they're plus 6.5. But I think that the Eagles are just that good. And I think Saquon's not destined to get to the Super Bowl, but I think he's on a mission right now. You know, made one playoff game besides this, or one playoff season besides this. He's on a mission right now, and I know last week he didn't get in the end zone, but I think this week he'll have a big game against the Rams. But again, if the Rams defense shows up, I mean that if they could shut down Saquon Barkley, that'd be huge. The other two games, obviously, the Lions and the Commanders, I think that's a no-brainer, Lions all day. And then it comes down to Buffalo and Baltimore. And we talked about this a little bit earlier with yesterday on BT and Sal. That is the game of the weekend, obviously. That is like the Super Bowl. Like, those two teams, I know the Chiefs have the record, but the Ravens and the Bills are the two best teams in the league. Like, no doubt about it. That is my pick for whoever wins that game, Bills and Ravens, that's my pick to win the Super Bowl. Like, I think that both teams are just that good, that explosive offensively. The quarterbacks are the MVPs of the league. You know, they're not going to split it. It's going to be one or the other. My call is on Lamar Jackson, but obviously Josh Allen has had an amazing season, and they did it after a year, Buffalo did, where they stripped down so many players. They got rid of Stephon Diggs. The defensive unit has completely changed, and they still are that good. So, to me, it's the only reason why I give Buffalo the edge is because they're playing at home. That's it. But I've seen too many. You've seen so many games. You've seen too many games, go down to the wire, and the away team find a way to win. And Lamar Jackson and company are a team that can win on the road. So I'm not that is a toss-up as they come, but I am picking the Bills. I do like them to win over the Ravens. 888-808-1019. Let's get to a phone call real quick. I know we were talking about Pete Alonso and the Mets. Steve from Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, well, Pete, I just want to say something. You know, when you're talking about the Chiefs, I think you're undervaluing their defense this year.
No, their defense has been great, which is part of the reason why they've been in all these games and been victorious in all these games, because the offense hasn't looked as good. They just don't look as good, and they're not putting up points the way they used to. But that's why it's all worked out for them, because their defense is being, it has been so good. I'm not going to take anything away.
Okay, two things. And the other thing is Andy Reid having 2 weeks to get ready. Okay, but football aside, I want to get into this, because somebody called and they conflated Pete Alonso's contract situation with the MVG. The MVG is the most valuable gambler. We know who that is. He is the MVG, and here's why I'm calling him the MVG.
Oh, please, okay? Please explain. Now, I'm dying to hear.
Okay, so that guy is so shrewd. See, that's how I know he's lying about all this. He deferred all that money because his salary for endorsements has to be approaching, okay, what his deferred salary. So why not take that money when I'm not playing baseball, when right now, you know, I'm getting that money in endorsement. I don't need that money now. So the idea that any other play, it's such a unique situation for him, okay, with the deferred money and the endorsement money that is current, okay, that he doesn't have to, he doesn't need that, you know, that extra salary money is overkill. And he could afford.
Yeah, we know that Shohei Ohtani makes a ton of money from investments or from endorsements. We get that. Yes. Like, yeah, he's the only person that was able to do what they did.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So you can't say, somebody's calling and say, "Oh, Pete should
defer all his money." Yeah, I don't. I don't agree with that either. I understand. I don't agree with that.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying. It's unfair to suggest that any other player, okay, has that, you know, endorsement platform. That's how I would describe it. That Ohtani has, which is why, getting to my other point, all right, a guy that shrewd, all right, is lying about the whole gambling thing. But
Steve, I got to be honest with you. I don't care about it. It's over. It's done with.
No,
why was those so long about it? He's got a ton of money. It doesn't make a difference to him anymore. He's got so much. He can do whatever he wants with it. He's got endorsements. He's got $700 million coming from the Dodgers, whether it's deferred or not. I don't care. It is what it is. He's one of the best players in baseball. He's making his money. It doesn't. Let's move on, please.
Yeah, but here's that whole recruitment thing, that whole, you know, Japanese League West in Los Angeles with the Dodgers, that is a real thing, all right? And that's going to be hard to, you know, yes, the Yankees had Godzilla and they had Tanaka, and there's respect there, but, you know, I don't think that's carrying as much weight. You know, with these guys.
Well, no, and Steve, and I got to be honest with you, I got to move on here. I got to take a break. But it's completely different. It's completely different now. The Yankees aren't as respected as they once were with Japanese players. They're not the Yankees aren't the destination to go to. I mean, you just saw that with Juan Soto. If the Yankees were a destination place, Shohei Ohtani would have thought about going there. He didn't. Juan Soto would have made a decision to go back there because he was there. He experienced it. If it was the destination to be right now, he wouldn't have left. For we're talking about a difference of, what, $50, $60 million? He wouldn't have left. He would not have left. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoffman with you on the Fan. Hit me up at Hoff, WFAN. Pete Hoff with you on the Fan for another hour and change till Richard Neer takes over again. Hit me up at Hoff WFAN. Don't forget the Odyssey app. Let's get to Rob in Midtown. Rob, what's going on?
What's happening, Hoff? How are you, man?
I'm good, bro. What's up, man?
I'm getting over this COVID variant. This is the worst one, Hoff.
Oh.
It's terrible. Terrible, terrible, I tell you. But that's not what made me the sickest this week. You know, maybe the sickest. It has to do with the Mets, but it's not Pete Alonso. It's the fact that Chase Utley is projecting at 60%. Now, that's not enough to get into the Hall of Fame, but guys who project at 60 on their first ballot usually get in.
Yeah.
And if he gets in, then I can never go again. I have no chance of going again. You know what? And it's not even a bias thing. You don't put Jeff Kent in. You don't put Lou Whitaker in. You put this guy in. Come on.
I mean, Lou Whitaker, I'm not going to put Lou Whitaker in there.
I got to put Lou Whitaker in. I saw him play.
I mean, I see a lot of guys play. That doesn't mean I got to put him in.
You can't tell me Jeff Kent doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
I think Kent belongs in there, yeah. Kent definitely
and he's
belongs
not, there. One and done? Him and Delgado, one and done? And this guy?
Well, Delgado to me was crazy because Carlos Delgado was a guy who was consistently 30-plus home runs every year. He was nine straight years of 30-plus home runs. Is that correct?
I think it was a decade, Pete. I think it was 10.
Yeah. And right. That guy not even sniffed. Didn't even sniff
Beth,
it.
One and done. Him and Kent, one and done. And now Chase Utley's going to get in there, and I can't. It's bad enough Scott Rowland's in there, right? If you want to go by the metric of third baseman, but come on. You know what? I'm not going to get mad about that. I am a glass-half-empty guy with the Mets. And you and I have similar ideas, but I think we have different perspectives on the Pete thing.
Okay.
I don't think Stearns is – look, he didn't sign – Pete, pardon me, Cohen – and Stearns did not sign Soto to bat Tyrone Taylor and Jeff McNeil after him. And do that. There's no way they go to Houston with the squad they have now. That being said, you know, the platitudes being heaped upon the Dodgers today to the fact that they have this magnetism for Asia, for Asian players, and that's the new hotbed for talent and then, you know, in baseball. If the Mets sign Vlad, or if the Mets trade for Vlad, which I think is very doable, the only guy I don't give up is Brandon Sproat. Everybody else, go ahead. I'll drive you there. You know? But the Mets get Vlad on this team. The Mets can become to Latin America what the Dodgers are to Asia. Right? And just think about it. We just got Elian Pena, another shortstop prospect, and if he is as projected, and who can tell at 16?
Right?
But if he is as projected, what do we need Jet Williams for? What do we need shortstops for? Why do we have so many shortstops? Right? Acuna is essentially a shortstop. We have prospect redundancy that the Toronto Blue Jays can use. And Vlad set a hard deadline. He said, look, you don't sign me by the first day of player workouts in February, I'm not going to negotiate for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but here's the thing: is you got to give them credit. They're trying right now. They're definitely trying.
But if he doesn't want to play there, he's not going to play there. And you know what? The tax rate up there is exorbitant, right? And right now, I think that the whole disposition people have towards Soto signing with the Mets—it was a money thing. Obviously, it wasn't. If he wanted the money, you know, the money was enough for him to go back to the Yankees. Listen, Steve Cohen's going to take your money and he's going to triple it, whatever you're getting paid, right? And that is something no other owner can offer. And I don't mean in salary. I mean in investments. So, I don't know. You got him and Francisco Alvarez working out together, right? I think the Mets, I really think it gets done with Vlad. And I'm not that guy. I didn't believe they were going to get Soto until it was announced. And then when I heard it was Jeff Passan, that's the only time I believed it.
Passan.
I didn't believe it when they said it was Heyman.
But, Rob, here's the thing is, right? Like, so there's differences here. You know, yeah. Soto is a free agent, so I always felt that the only way that Soto was not going to be a Met was if Soto chose to go somewhere else for less money. And
right.
And I'm right. Like, the Mets gave the most money, and he chose the most money so that they won. So I was very
good. I think there's some wiggle room to that narrative. The kid was in Citi Field taking a picture of the Apple saying, my future. And then what people forget is when the Nationals couldn't come to an agreement with him, and I thought he was crazy to turn down that $450 from the Nationals.
It's not that they couldn't come to an agreement. Yeah, he just didn't want to take – he wanted to hit free agency.
And not just that, what did he say when he was, what did Boris say when he was on the market? He said, and I think that Yankee fans have somehow either expunged this from their memory, or they just live in that bubble of entitlement where they think this is 1927 right now, right? But he said, Scott Boris came out and said, when the Nationals put him on the market, they said, he said, his preferred destination is the New York Mets. Maybe Soto always wanted to go to the Mets, and he just wanted to leverage the Yankees to get the most money. And I want to believe that because I'm old enough to have suffered so much at the hands of the Yankees not directly to the Mets, but their fans who are just ungodly, right? I want to believe that. And I hope that's the case. And I also believe that Vlad, you know, you're starting to create the zeitgeist and the atmosphere in Flushing what Omar Minaya wanted back in 06 and 07 with Los Mets.
Yeah.
And if you do that, Elian Pena is, aside from the Roki Sasaki, who everyone knew where he's going to sign, I don't even know why he did the dog and pony show, right? But Elian Pena was far and away the most talented international free agent. Mets signed him. A lot of people had $5 million in their international pool, right? The Yankees did, right? I think the Mets are leveraging, I hope, right? First of all, I trust Stearns and Cohen, you know, with my life at this point. And I think they're leveraging to corner that Latin American market. You know, like, listen, I mean, what we learned with the Soto negotiations is the Yankees aren't it anymore, right?
Right.
The Yankee brand doesn't carry the gravitas it used to 20 years ago. And the truth is they are so, from what we heard, there are a lot of Red Sox fans in the Dominican Republic because Manny and Ortiz played on the same team.
Right.
And won multiple rings together, same team. Now you put Soto and you put Vlad on the same team, right? You have Elian Pena signing already. There are things
you love Pena.
Abstract that
Rob,
are at play
you
here.
Clearly love Pena. You brought him up like 1,000 times. Listen, I
can't believe that such a coveted international prospect from the Dominican Republic would want to sign with the Mets.
Yeah, well, because they also gave him a lot of money for international money.
A lot of people could have gave him the same money, but he negotiated and signed with the Mets. And if you don't think that, you know, I understand it, but I got to think that Juan Soto signing with the Mets had a lot to do with that.
Well, it could have. And Rob, great call, as always. Got to take a break here, but we'll get back into it. 888-808-1019. Coming up, we'll get back into New York Mets. And he has a lot of trust in David Stearns and Steve Cohen. And I got to be honest with you, this past month, I've turned a little bit. I really have. We'll explain more. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoff with you on the Fan. Hit me up at Hoff WFAN. But now an update. Marco Belletti.